Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's Carson and Kennedy. Welcome to the podcast for Monday, July 29th, 2019. Hozier was in the Mix Lounge last week, so we're going to talk to him about delicious cookies and very sad animals crying in the middle of the night. We will recap what everybody did over the weekend, and I have a family member in town. It's going to get very awkward because I have to call him out for the things he's trying to teach my son at a very young age. We're about to have a very awkward family moment on this show. Everybody say hello to Garrett.
Hello.
Hi, Garrett.
Hey, everybody.
So Garrett is 22 years old. He's a student at the University of South Florida down in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Garrett is my dad's girlfriend's son, and he just got back from 6 weeks studying abroad in Sicily, which had to be amazing, right?
Oh, it was awesome. 4 weeks, by the way.
Oh, 4 weeks. Sorry, I didn't mean to get it confused. And what are you studying again? Tell everybody quickly.
So essentially what I do is called digital archaeology. And it's the digital applications of archaeology. So if you find artifacts or need a catacomb,
yeah.
You know. I could go on forever.
He's wicked smart. That's all you need to know. And so he is spending just a couple of days in Boston before he heads back to Florida. And yesterday we had one of our famous garage BQs, right?
Famous.
Yes.
It was great.
And so I have a beer fridge in the garage, and my sister-in-law had made a stop at The Alchemist, which is a very famous brewer in Vermont, when she came back from Montreal. And she brought me some of this beer that I love called Heady Topper. And it's one of the best beers in the world. And he stumbled across it in the fridge. And he's like, can I have this? And I was like, hold on. Before you take this beer, you need to understand the background of this beer.
Oh, my God.
You don't just drink a Heady Topper.
I'm trying to get drunk, not get lectured.
Yeah, right? Just going to pound it.
Let me tell you the history.
So he gets the beer, and he starts drinking the beer. And it this point, something happens with him and my 8-year-old son. What happens at this moment? What does he say to you, or what do you say to him?
So essentially, I motioned to him jokingly that, you know, if he wanted to try the beer, basically.
So you offered my 8-year-old a sip of your beer?
Jokingly.
Okay.
It was all in good fun.
Right.
And, you know, he sort of shrugged, gave me a little smirk, and then he was like, well, I tried coffee once, but I didn't like it. And so naturally, I'm going to tell him, you know, if you don't like coffee, you're probably not going to like beer, to be honest.
Okay. Now, this is where I come into the conversation, because all I hear you say to him is, don't worry, when you're like 15 or 16 and you start drinking beer, you will learn to like it. Yeah. Do I have that right?
Well, basically, I told him, you know, you're not going to like it now, but, you know, 15, 16, parents aren't looking, you're going to try it, and it's just going to grow on you, basically.
Yep, he's not lying.
He's not.
So this is where the awkward part comes in. You are no longer allowed to visit us. You're lucky you're leaving today. I wanted to throw you out last night. He's 8 years old. Why would you put that in his head?
I mean, you know, he's going to experience it eventually, but he's my little nephew, basically.
Yeah, but I don't want you telling him that.
Listen, Garrett's from Florida. Things move a little differently down there.
Yeah, no, I grew up in Florida. I totally understand it. And yes, I did the exact same thing, but that's not something you tell an 8-year-old.
How old were you when you had your first sip of beer? Did your dad or your mom never hooked you up with a sip when you were a kid? Because mine did.
So my mother bought me 2 kegs for my 18th birthday.
See? Late bloomer, but
times
were
different then.
This was during black and white television. I'm that old.
Up there in your ivory tower lecturing people about Heady Topper and throwing Garrett out the house.
But what I say and what I do are two different things as a parent, okay? Don't do as I did, you do as I say. I just could not believe it. I was blown away when you said that to him.
To be fair, it was a joke.
I was going to give him the beer.
Yeah, it was a very awkward moment.
I'm just trying to be the cool uncle.
And then you guys disappear to go like throw the lacrosse ball, and you have the beer in your hand. And I'm like, oh my God, Did you give him a sip of the beer while you were going playing lacrosse?
Okay. Of course not.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
No.
Listen, Captain Mountain out of a molehill.
With how much Barrett likes to talk about everything he does, you would have heard about it.
How old do you think he's going to be when he takes his first sip of beer? How's that?
I don't want to think about
Carson
it.
Carson just had a heart attack in the studio.
Yeah. As long as he's going to be drinking Keystone Light or something, not your fancy Heady Topper.
No, he's going to be drinking Natty Lights, and you're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. He's going to be in the woods somewhere in the South Shore.
I was just like, what are you doing? So anyway, I just had to call you out for that.
Hey, it's all good.
Right. How old were you when you had your first beer?
Honestly, like 14.
Right. Thanks. Yeah.
Same.
Hey, Annie?
Yeah, 13 to 14?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was definitely a late bloomer, Dan.
I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
Dan's like three.
Probably around 15, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is none of you are allowed to hang out with my son.
Come on.
Between now and the time he turns 30 is what I'm saying.
Listen, we all turned out away or something. Yeah. We're not okay-ish.
We're here.
All right. Well, it's good to have you in town. Don't ever come back.
Thanks for having me.
You can come to my house, Garrett.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Hozier, he's got a new album, Wasteland Baby. It is out now. He came in and did a mix lounge for us last week. We're at the Doubletree Suites by Hilton, Boston, Cambridge, right inside Scholars Jazz Club. Mm-hmm. He's a mellow dude. He's a cool dude. He's a prolific songwriter. I love his voice.
He's probably 3 inches taller than you.
He is wicked tall.
So quiet.
He's very, very quiet.
Speak up. Okay.
So you just have to know that. And we're sitting in this small hotel room. Mm-hmm. It's just me and him. And of course, Doubletree Suites is famous for their cookies. Mm-hmm. And that's all they're talking about as we're getting ready to do the interview. There's also a very funny moment where he talks about crying baby sheep when he was growing up. And this is our interview with Hozier.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's good to see you.
You too. You too.
A lot of cookies right now.
A lot of cookies.
All the conversation is about cookies.
We've been talking cookies. But, I mean, it's a worthwhile conversation to have.
I saw you sneaking cookies out in a laundry bag.
Yeah, that's right. We're in a hotel. We're in kind of like a hotel room, and we've been given loads of cookies.
And they're delicious, delicious cookies.
Pretty damn good.
And so are they all for you, or are you going to share with the band?
If the band are lucky, some of those 20 cookies might find their way. But, you know.
So I want to talk to you about the album. You just come right out with the first song with Mavis Staples on there. And it's just such a powerful message with this song. How did you end up recording a song with Mavis Staples?
My God. It was kind of, myself and Mavis Staples, I've always been a huge, huge, huge fan. We had passed each other a few times on my last tour from the first album. And there was kind of talk, I had gone back and forth of maybe us getting a chance to do something together, and we could never make it work. So I would have given my right arm at any point to work with Mavis. I think she's is super important, just an important artist, and also, you know, just an incredible legacy. And like, but when that song kind of started to make sense to me, and it was a kind of about artists who sang about what they sang about, it just made clear sense that it had to be Mavis, and we reached out, sent her a rough cut of the song, and she dug it, and that was, we flew out to Chicago, actually, myself and Marcus Drafts, who was producing it with me.
I wanted to ask you that. Did you guys record it together?
Yeah.
Is that intimidating?
It's not when it's Mavis, I gotta say. I mean, yeah, I was freaked out, you know, meeting Mavis for the first, because that was the first time then I was probably sitting down with her, talking to her. I wanted to make sure she was cool with the lyrics and cool with what the kind of vision for the song was. And,
right.
And but she, so I was intimidated, of course, but like as soon as I met her, five minutes in, she is the warmest, kindest, like most generous person I've ever met in my life. You know, she's just such a sweet, just such a special person. So all of that kind of melted away.
What is the process like when you're writing these songs? I'm kind of curious. We had a chance last summer to interview Bono and the Edge. We've had them on the show a few times, and you talk about prolific songwriters and writing songs about what's going on in society.
Yeah.
Is that something that's in the back of your mind when you're writing a song?
I think so. That the hope is that you're trying to be honest with the work, and that you're just, you know, and I think we all write about what interests us and what moves us, but and so I follow that, but hopefully you're trying to write something that is, that honestly reflects just how you experience the world, and that could be good and that could be bad, you know.
Do you remember when Take Me to Church
Yeah.
came to happen, where you were when that came to fruition?
Yeah, that was like, that was a solid year sitting in my, in like a little notebook I had at the time, like a little journal. And I was collecting lyrical ideas for that over the course of a year. I remember when some of those ideas were first penned down. And then I remember when I knew it kind of made sense as a full song once the chorus was written.
Mm-hmm.
And was it, I don't even remember naming the song. I think it
really?
Just was, I think it was, yeah, I think to name it anything else would have been a bit silly, to be honest. But that stands out as a kind of a one song that took me a long time to write. You know, it took me about a year to write that song.
Usually it happens a little quicker for you.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Nobody wants to take a year.
No one wants to take a year.
This
album took me a good few years.
So you're spending the summer touring. I know you're going to the Newport Folk Festival.
Yeah.
But I want to look back, because we are right in the middle of summer here in New England. Kids are off, summer camp, vacation. What was summer like for you as a kid? Do you have any fond memories or funny stories? What did you do as a kid over the summer?
Yeah, oh my God. When I was a young kid, when I was maybe for 6 or 7, my folks moved out to a very rural kind of like farmland type area. So I've a lot of good memories of kind of, oh my God, okay, picking berries, like blackberry picking and stuff. And,
sure.
And usually they would just go into a pie pretty quickly enough, but yeah, I have to say.
I know why you're stealing all the cookies.
There you go.
Some childhood thing happening
totally,
here.
Yeah, just the hoarding of sweet things.
Do you have animals on the farm?
No, so we weren't on a farm. We were surrounded by farms.
Okay.
So we were kind of like farm locked, I suppose. It was interesting, but it was great. It was kind of like lambs and like a lot of lambs. I remember for the first time being kept up at night. Once lambs are born, once it gets dark, they start freaking out because they can't find their parents. So I just remember the first few years of living out in the countryside, being kept up by like distressed lambs all night. That is just ridiculous. But no, the good memories.
That's a good band name. Distressed lambs.
Yeah. Seaside. I live near the seaside, so a lot of beach going, a lot of sea swimming, a lot of kind of, and then you're kind of exploring the countryside and kind of doing a bit of that as well too.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and doing the Mix Lounge. It means a lot to us. It means a lot to the fans.
No, it's a pleasure.
You know, for you to come in and do this and play the show and all that, we really do appreciate it. And the new album's just it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the support, and thank you so much for having us. It's been really fun.
And apparently we did talk to somebody behind the scenes. There are more cookies coming.
Hell yes. Yeah. Amazing.
That was the most important thing to Hozier was the cookies.
Really? And he probably weighs all of like, what, 150?
And it's at like 6'5".
Right? He is a beanpole, but that man can put away some cookies.
Right as that interview was finishing, their tour manager came in. She's like, good news, I got you some more cookies.
Oh my gosh.
That's all they talked about. So again, a big thank you to Doubletree Suites by Hilton for having us there in Boston, Cambridge at Sculler's Jazz Club. If you haven't been there before, very cool. And then they have an upstairs deck too. We went there afterwards up on the rooftop, which was a lot of fun. And his new album is Wasteland Baby. Make sure you check that out.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
It is Towny Shark Week on the show this week. So what is Towny Shark Week? Well, there's Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. And
old news.
Right. Then there's Towny Shark Week.
It's Towny Shark Week on Carson and Kennedy. Yeah! We got no sharks in Dorchester, but they're all over the harbor. My favorite shark, probably the tiger, but great white ain't bad.
So essentially, Annie puts on a shark suit and then goes out and does ridiculous stuff.
It's not essentially, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So what did you do in your shark suit for us today?
So a little bit of a backstory. When we went around in Faneuil Hall last year, when I had the shark costume on, it was the hottest day of the year. Do you remember that? It was like 95.
Yes, you were sweating like crazy. You lost 15 pounds.
No, legit. And so when I had to take it off, I just ripped it off. So the back of it is broken.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Just keep that in the back of your mind during this.
Okay.
So this was at my house party. The shark costume was getting passed around, but I had to put it on to be the real Towny Shark. So I just, you know, asked some of my pals what it's been like this summer. You know, I've been everywhere, down the Cape, if I've ruined their summer. Their answers are a little weird, but.
All right, guys, Towny Shark here, reporting live, Shark Week. How we doing?
Not really expecting to see a friend of mine in a shark suit, and I think she looks like hella thick in it. So like, but I don't know, I kind of never seen a shark that up close.
How we feeling about the sharks this summer?
I haven't got bitten yet, so it's kind of good.
Hungry.
Hungry for what?
Hold on, stop. Did you hear that, Producer Dan?
No, what'd I miss?
Did you hear the way she was talking there?
What?
Had you been drinking?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a house party, dude. That shark suit smells like Marb Reds and tequila.
Okay. Sorry. I'll continue on.
Never seen a shark that up close.
How are we feeling about the sharks this summer?
You know, I haven't gotten bitten yet, so it's kind of good.
Hungry.
Hungry for what?
What are you hungry
shark,
for?
Shark meat.
How do you feel about the about me coming to all your beaches this summer?
I've seen a lot of sharks.
Okay, Carson, I know my voice trails off at the end of sentences, okay? I get it. I'm going through puberty.
Coming to all your beaches this summer.
I've seen a lot of sharks. There's one in particular. I have. One's looking pretty thick.
Wow, again.
Okay, but like, am I ruining your summer or what?
No, I hope I see another shark like you in the water pretty soon.
They are...
This is just a bunch of drunk dudes hitting on you while you're in a shark outfit.
I'm like, guys, I need you to work with me here. Work with me.
I hope I find a shark like you on the Cape.
I love you. Okay, but like, am I ruining your summer or what?
No, I hope I see another shark like you in the water pretty soon.
Shoot your shot, buddy.
Well, I went skinny dipping in Cape Cod last weekend, and I didn't get bit by a shark, so I think that you haven't ruined my summer yet.
The waters aren't infested with sharks. Where did they live there? It's their home.
Sharks are scary. We need to stop going into the water, expecting them to not be there.
But, like, is the towny shark ruining your summer?
I don't think so. Like, sharks are going to be in the water in the Cape. Like, deal with it. That's life. They're swimming.
Okay, like, what would you do if sober. I came up to you? Like, I'm just like a towny shark. Like, I'm a good time. Like, what would you do?
I'd be like, what's up? Buy me a drink. Like, what are we getting into? Are we having a moment? Are we having laughs?
What?
So we're a bit all over the place. We got some pretty intoxicated people.
What just happened?
What happened at the end? Hold on. What is that at the end? I want to hear that again.
Like, I'm just like a towny shark. Like, I'm a good time. Like, what would you do?
I'd be like, what's up? Buy me a drink. Like, what are we getting into? Are we having a moment? Are we having laughs?
Are we having laughs? Her and the towny shark. Obviously.
I just love the guys calling you thick and hitting on you.
Well, it's because the back was obviously ripped open from when I ripped it open last summer.
Right.
But.
Tawny Shark, Thanos thick.
She's Thanos thick.
How do you feel about me coming to all your beaches this summer?
I've seen a lot of sharks. There's one in particular. I have. One's looking pretty thick.
Have you seen a lot of sharks, dude? Yeah, I have, Billy, okay?
It's Towny Shark Week on Carson and Kennedy. Yeah! We got no sharks in Dorchester, but they're all over the harbor. My favorite shark, probably the tiger. But great white ain't bad.
Well, thank you for that, Annie.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was fantastic.
Must have been a hell of a house party.
A little bit, Dan, a little bit.
That was just day one of Towny Shark Week.
I might have slept in the shark costume.
Oh, you need to wash that thing before you go out the rest of the week.
Nope.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
I want to go around the room real quick and just check out everybody's weekend. I know, Annie, you actually hosted a birthday party for
one of
our coworkers,
yes.
Danielle, who works on the afternoon show with Greg and Fred.
Yes.
I didn't realize you guys were that close that you're throwing birthday parties.
Yeah, she started hanging out in Quincy more, which is funny. Like, I'm turning her into a South Shore girl.
And she's from the North Shore.
Yeah, she's from Revere. I know.
The drama.
The traitor. The Benedict Arnold of Revere. That's what she is.
It's not that serious.
No, it's really not. But so I had a birthday party for her. She turned 24 yesterday, Saturday night. She brought a couple of her buddies from the North Shore, and right. Then it was like all my friends. So I was like, happy birthday. Here's a lot of Quincy people that you don't know, but oh well.
So how sloppy did everybody get in Quincy?
Honestly, Dan, like everyone is, because we're a little bit older, I think everyone's more right. Well-behaved and they actually like respect your home.
Right. I'd say they leave it a mess.
Compared,
you get up in the morning, it's relatively clean.
Yeah, it was like a couple cans. I was like, you guys are great. I'm doing this all the time. We played so many games of beer pong. We played Kings. We played Catchphrase.
Right.
It was
fun. It was a good time. I saw a couple of pictures here and there.
I had the shark costume on. Like, six other people had the shark costume on. I don't know where that thing is right now. I got to find it somewhere in my house.
Yeah, we're going to have some Towny Shark audio on the show later this morning. We went and saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, how was it?
I loved it.
Did you?
It is a long movie, though. 3 hours. I think it was a little over 3 hours by the time you got done with the opening stuff right. And then the credits.
All of his movies are wicked long, right?
Yeah, but the acting in this movie is incredible. And there are parts of it where you're watching and you're like, what in the hell am I watching? You know what I mean? You're just like, where is this going?
So Tarantino.
But yeah. It's Quentin Tarantino. You have no idea where this is going. But when you get done with this movie, it is like you just had the best meal and you have no idea what you ate.
You know what I mean?
Like, what just happened?
Yeah, it was.
I blacked out.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then my dad's girlfriend's son is he's in town right now, so he was studying abroad in Sicily.
Ooh,
and he's fancy. On his way back to USF. He's actually going to be. I'm going to have to call him out on the show later on this morning.
Oh,
but we did all the touristy stuff yesterday. So we went and ate a lobster roll at the Union Oyster House.
Yes,
and we biked around the North End. We did all that kind of stuff. How about you, Dan?
Oh, I had a great weekend. Friday, I sat by the pool and busted open some tequila I got for my 30th birthday.
Ooh. Ooh.
Who got you tequila for your 30th birthday?
This guy I know.
Sounds like a delightful gentleman.
Saturday was a big day for me career-wise, actually.
Really?
It was the last weekend shift I had to work.
You're kidding me.
What?
So now I'm officially done with weekends. I get 2 days off a week now. Very
Let's
excited.
Go.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yep. No more 6 days a week for your boy.
What? I'm kind of sad about this.
Why? I'm like, thrilled.
Dan's like, can you not?
Well, no, I just thought, like, I think it's good, like, you know, getting that, you know, a chance to kind of spread your wings on your own a little bit.
I know, but wasn't going to get any more money for working the weekends,
right?
So I didn't want to come in and do it for free,
right? So was that something you brought up to them, or did they?
No,
bring
they brought
it up
to me,
and they're like, "Hey, because you're now full time on the morning show, you don't have to do a weekend shift anymore."
Right,
Dan, check
I
you
know.
Out.
Moving
I thought, on up.
See, I had no idea. I heard you on the air on Saturday. Was it Saturday you worked?
Yep, Saturday through to 8 was my last shift on the weekend at Mix.
I heard you talking about the kid from Stranger Things.
Oh, right.
And that he had an album out. And I was like, and Barrett was with me. He's like, "Dad, was that Dan?" And I was like, "It was." He's like, "Oh, he sounded actually good." And I was like,
"Dan's a star.
What are you talking? He's on the radio every morning.
He sounded actually good."
Actually good.
And he said, "Well, it's different. Like, I only hear him interacting with you guys, hearing him on his own."
It is different when you're leading your own show on a weekend.
Right, so right. Different. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm happy to hear that.
Right, it's a little mixed.
Right.
And then Sunday, I went to Narragansett Beach for the first time. I'm still in my slides, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I noticed producer Dan is still wearing his slides. I've never seen you wear slides. I mean, you're a pretty casual dude, but that's a new level right there of casual.
I thought I packed my New Balances. I didn't.
Whoops.
But I messed up my truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard.
So I'm actually agreeing with you on how people park now.
Yeah, if you have not seen my Instagram stories over the past 2 weeks, I've been going all in on my coworkers in the Parking Lot Chronicles.
He's been parking lot snitching, and I'm honestly on his side now.
And you weren't on my side for the past 2 weeks.
The whole side of my truck is now yellow from a post.
What happened?
I scraped it.
Right.
Somebody was parked illegally, and there was only one way in through this way, and I tried to sneak by and didn't do it.
And just scraped up your truck.
Apparently, my depth perception isn't as strong as I think it is.
It's like when you go to the drive-thru window and you smack your mirror off of it.
And now it looks like my truck is turning into a Simpsons character because the whole side is just yellow.
So are you going to help me monitor our parking lot
now? Oh, I got it. Give me a badge and a gun. I'm in.
Are you kidding me?
I was thinking, so I had this idea. So if you there's none up there right now, but essentially, if you follow my Instagram stories, it's at Carson with a K. I've been posting all these pictures of our parking lot because of the craziness that has been going on and where people park. They block the way that you get through the parking lot. They take up multiple parking spaces.
So dramatic.
And so I went out there and I painted down parking spaces with chalk.
Go straight parking lot petty.
I wrote people's names next to them so they can just do whatever they want. And you guys have all been saying that I'm just, you know, I'm a snitch, this, that, and the other. So what I was thinking is my next step is to make fake tickets and give people tickets in our parking lot. Like, do you guys have any of the orange envelopes from getting a ticket in Boston?
No, I just get citation.
So
I didn't get an orange envelope.
So I want to get some of those orange envelopes and then just give people parking lot tickets. Are you down for it?
Oh, I don't know if I can ticket people.
I'm not participating in any of this. I am still against you.
Just wear your Tony Shark outfit and get drunk at Quincy, okay?
Yeah, Dan, I'm not a rat, okay?
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.